Hey, welcome to I'm That Mom, the podcast about motherhood without the pressure of perfection. My name is Katie. I'm a self-taught entrepreneur who started my baby company while pregnant and grew it to an eight-figure business as a single mom of three. Join us as we discuss the fun, funny, and messy parts of motherhood. We're certainly not experts. We're just here to support all the moms, and hopefully, collectively, we don't completely f*** it up. Okay, so we're going to talk about things new moms should not freak out about. And I think this is like, so we're going to take out the pregnancy freak out part. Like the moment the baby's born at the hospital, what are the things that happen that really is like, calm down, mama. Like, I swear this is normal.
Yeah.
You're more recent. So what's, do you remember your most like, oh my God, first baby moment?
Ooh, the first one where I felt like I couldn't figure out what to Google to help me.
Yeah.
Was probably the first diaper rash, honestly.
But in the hospital?
Oh, like in the hospital. Shoot. Okay.
Okay, but diaper rash is good. Let's do that one first, because I feel like that's something that happens to almost every single mom. And it goes from bad to like really bad, bleeding, babies crying and moms crying like in hour.
Yeah, no, I freaked out, called the pediatrician, and she was really nice. She let us come in.
She's like, yeah, no. Do you have fever? No.
I know. But they were so nice. They were like, okay, mom, come on in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, come on in, mom. We're going to show you about diaper rash cream. Yeah, I remember. Mine would get really bad diaper rash. And the thing that worked the best for me, honestly, was, and I tried all the creams, like I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
And there was definitely a favorite. I actually liked Dr. Smith's, which, so remember, my youngest is 10. So there's like all kinds of like better butt creams out now than there was. But the thing that worked the best for me was just laying the baby like on a towel after her bath or, you know, diaper change, especially a messy diaper change, and letting them air dry.
Yes.
Same rule for breastfeeding. When you get like the nipple, you know, thing, is just letting them air dry does so much for it, because I think it's the moisture that kind of causes the rashes and the irritation. But
yeah, no, that's what we ended up doing to help with her diaper rash. And it was good, because then we did like skin to skin and like just like kind of hung out.
As you're crying, thinking you're a horrible mom because they have diaper rash.
I know.
And diaper rash can happen even if you change your diaper every hour. It's not even something that is like, oh, you did something wrong. It's just a sensitive skin thing.
No, yeah.
They're sitting in there like pee and poop. Like, if I'd have diaper rash. I get diaper rash if it's hot outside.
Oh my gosh.
Don't lie, you do too. Okay, so I was thinking we were going to start with hospital. And so on the like subject of diapers, let's talk first poop. Do you remember that meconium poop, like the first one where you're like,
oh yeah,
I thought it for my very first baby. I thought it was going to be like, oh, they pooped, it's so cute. And like a one wiper, like, yeah, like I'm going to take my one wipe and just like clean it. And it's like perfect. That meconium poop stuff, when they say it's like tar, it is. You have to take your nails into your wipey and like scrape it. It's gross. And I don't know which is worse, scraping that meconium poop from a baby girl or a baby boy. Both are very. You only have the experience with the girl, but
I know.
Oh my God, moms, get ready. It is a thing. And I highly recommend you give dad that job, because usually it happens in the first 24 hours.
Yep.
And so either way, mom, vaginal, C-section, whatever, is in bed. She should be doing nothing except holding that baby and feeding the baby. Dad, first duty, for sure, diaper change. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, mom's like, don't freak out if dad's like, it's black, because you think poop should be a certain way. And the funny thing about baby poop is it can change colors. If you're breastfed, if you're bottle fed, if you're, I mean, anything can change the color and texture. Breastfed babies have very like cottage cheesy kind of poop. Do you remember?
The bird seed, that's what we called it.
It's so gross because you have to like scrape out the chunks and the like liquid. And
Kevin would be like, did y'all eat bird seed, or what is happening in her diaper right now?
Yes. And then the second you start formula, or if baby's constipated even with breast milk, it gets more solid, it's more creamy. I don't know. No matter what, it can explode up their back. That's a thing. Do not freak out if one day you walk in and baby has poop up, yellow poop up their outfit 6 inches from the top of their diaper.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? Cradle cap. Did your babies have that?
Yes, but it didn't come like at first.
Let's explain what cradle crap is, because that for a new mom would be like, what? Like cradle crap?
Cradle crap?
It is crappy. I'll say that because perfect.
You feel really bad.
You feel really bad, but you want to explain it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just like when their skin starts to peel because there's like a buildup of oil in their hair and everything. And
like going from in your womb, like of like all this moisture and like perfect skin. And then, I mean, my skin freaks out when the season changes. So it's definitely normal. No big deal. If your baby's scalp starts peeling like a lizard.
Yeah. No, they make the little like exfoliator, like sponges that are like. Not like crazy exfoliating, but like enough for the baby.
You can kind of brush it out. Yeah. I mean, you don't ever want to exfoliate it like really, like the way we exfoliate our skin. And it's normal. It's totally normal. Some babies get it, some don't. If your baby does not shed its skin like a lizard, it's normal too. You know, going back to like the whole reason we're having this conversation is don't freak out. If your baby has crazy poops, don't freak out. It's normal. And it's things you don't even think about Googling when you're pregnant because nobody's like, let me tell you about baby's first poop. Like, it's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Baby nurses come in and you're like shock factor because you just scraped tar off your baby's butt. And they're like, oh, yeah. And they're like proud. They're like, yay.
First poop. No, they're like, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. I wrote down a list of like my big ones. I feel like, why is this revolving around poop? So I wrote down the three things babies do the most, just so eat, sleep, poop. And it's like a repeat, literally. They eat, they sleep, they poop. Actually, it's sleep, eat, poop. Sleep, eat, poop.
Yeah.
Right? Full cycle. Do not freak out if you feel like that is your cycle in the first, I'd say up to 4 months. 4 months is kind of when they wake up and they start to have like awake moments, like not sleeping all the time, you know?
They'll like smile back at you or like start to giggle, things like that.
Yeah.
They're not just chilling.
They're just chilling. Yeah. And it's actually kind of that those first few weeks are very misleading because you're like, I got this. This is easy. Or, well, if baby's sleeping, let's say if baby is in the normal cycle of eat, sleep, poop, repeat, right? Then it's not so bad. You're exhausted, but that's it. You know, and if they don't, if they change that rhythm or they change that schedule, you know, don't freak out that they don't do much, really, I think was my kind of point.
Well, yeah, and their schedule changes, like, so much. Like, we had read, it, like, a few different books on, like, recommended schedules, and it was, like, it changed like every like 4 weeks, I think.
Like as soon as you got her on the schedule, she changed.
Yeah, then it was like, oh, okay, now her wake window needs to be like a little bit longer, or like she needs a little bit more milk now. And then like that extra 2 ounces of milk changes everything.
Yes. And so, because they're full tummies and they sleep longer. Yeah. I admittedly never read any of the scheduling books. Like I completely winged it per usual.
Oh my gosh.
I know, but so I was very much like, you let baby sleep when she's tired or he, you feed them when they're hungry.
Yeah.
I think there's some good like nuggets in there though of those like sleep training books. Like I think probably the happy balance is somewhere in between. Read it, educate yourself on it, but know that within a day baby can change and then don't freak out. Like it's very much go with the punches with a newborn.
Well, yeah, and I mean, every baby like hits the milestones at different times or like has a growth spurt a little earlier or a little later. And so like,
or they're snackers, or they're good eaters, or they're bad eaters. And then introducing like rice cereal or any kind of food helps. So I guess like our overall point is like, don't freak out. There's no rule. There's no baby should be taking 3 hour naps at 3 months old. It's that when you read that stuff online, it's just kind of think of it as like guidelines. Like, hey, here's like the average probably starts to hit this milestone at this point. And then I would give yourself a good 6 month window, 3 months before, 3 months after, where like your baby can fall anywhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What else?
Okay. I just remembered what freaked me out at the hospital.
What
was baby acne.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember I was feeding her. It was like one of the first times. And I noticed these little red bumps on her. And I thought she was having an allergic reaction to like the milk or like something. And so I thought she was getting hives everywhere and I freaked out. And they like, the nurses came in with like this pamphlet and like a one sheeter on like baby acne. And were like, this is normal, mom. And
at least
like,
you know you weren't the first one.
No, like, they have a one
sheeter. They're like, mom in 2A is freaking out over nothing. And they deliver, because they don't want to even explain it. They just give you the one sheet. And you're
I know.
Oh, I feel really stupid right now.
I know. I was like, but, okay. If you're sure. And they're like, we're sure, mom.
Same with stork bites. You know how some, did your babies come out with stork bites? That's those red blotchy
marks. She had one on her eyelid actually. And immediately when they handed her to me, they were like, don't freak out about that. That's normal.
It goes away. And I think it's most common actually on their eyelids, around their forehead, sometimes right in between their eyebrows.
Yeah.
And then any spots on their head.
Yeah.
Like in the hairline, which to you, like any mom's like, oh, his hair will hide that one day. But what about the huge, you know, and then I can't even remember when my kids' stork bites went away. I just remember they faded.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can't remember either.
Right? Except for when they got mad. Do you remember when they're like 4 or 5 months old and they start screaming and their stork bite like comes back with a vengeance?
Like turn like fiery red.
Yeah. But yeah, so don't freak out. I mean, think about the environment babies coming from into the world.
Yeah.
We all want to picture this like perfect Instagram newborn that has like flawless skin, like the skin that I spend all that money on my skincare,
right?
That I put on my face every day. It's because I want that baby soft skin.
Yes.
And the reality is most newborns are born with acne, stork bites, you know, swollen. Yes. They're not even unswollen for, you know.
No, yeah, they're all puffy.
They're puffy and their eyes are all crazy. And
also, if you have a vaginal birth, like they could have a little bit of a cone head.
A little bit? Do you remember the Saturday Night Live where the cone heads and they're bald and the whole thing? That would be the upside to C-section. Although my first baby, I did labor for 24 hours, so he was in the birth canal. And so then he came out C-section and his head was all like sideways.
Oh.
I know. But they got to go through a really tiny hole. I mean,
I know.
They even slightly go crooked. It's like, and their brain all squishes. But that's what newborn hats are for.
And it all goes back to covered normal.
It all goes back to normal within a week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the doctors, will tell you right away.
Yeah, it will go back. Well, because can you imagine? Like, moms are just, and you can't say, oh, what's wrong with my baby?
I know.
You're thinking it, and thank God those nurses and doctors are like, this is totally normal. Don't worry, it goes back. Like, they're little.
They've got their pamphlets ready.
They have little shelves in their brain that kind of merge back together, which is actually pretty cool that those can move and overlap to fit through the birth canal.
Dude, for real.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And then, on top of their brain, right, because soft spot is, I want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the soft, where you can see their heart beating.
Yes.
It's so gross.
It freaked me out.
Yes, because you don't want to touch it, and they say not to brush it too hard because, I don't know, it's like their brain. Gross.
Like literally their brain just hanging out there.
But don't freak out about the soft spot. But I want to touch on the funky head shape, because the second you get past the newborn funky head shape, now all these moms are worrying about, well, if it's too much time on the back, flat head. You know where I'm going with this? My sweet baby niece had a helmet and she rocked it. It was hot pink and it is so cute. And she's even in one of our pictures on the website. But they put the helmets on now that help with flathead, so remember, like growing up, we slept on our tummies. So none of us had helmets because we didn't have flathead, because our moms apparently were momming wrong and put us on our tummies. Debatable, right?
I know.
Now, don't put a baby on your tummy, and you put them on their back and then they get flatheads and you have helmet. So it's like a whole head crisis in the first year, really.
Yeah, no, there's a few
It's a
kids.
Miracle we have round heads now. Like, what? What is this? What is this generation that we're birthing right now going to look like later on? Oh my God, we overcomplicate things sometimes. So soft spot. It is totally normal to see your baby's brain pulsating in the soft spot.
Yeah,
and that soft spot can be. I mean, I know this is like listening, but if you're watching us on YouTube, you will see like a 3-inch I'm holding over my head. That's the amount where you can see like their head, like brum, brum,
brum, yeah. Brum.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any resemblance of a schedule? We said that. Moms,
yeah.
really.
Just whatever works.
Give yourself a break. Yeah. There is no such thing as the perfect newborn schedule. Mm-mm. Like, I'm going to repeat that so that we can, like, this should be the start of a reel. There is no such thing as a perfect schedule with a newborn, with a toddler, with a teenager, with your husband, with your life in general. Like, I'm expanding beyond that. It doesn't exist. So get it out of your mind.
Yeah. Just go with the flow. Learn to adapt a little bit, which can, like, be tricky for some people to, like, let go of that. But I think, like, if you can, then it'll help everybody.
Well, you had it kind of shaken up this weekend because your daughter had hand, foot, mouth.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, we had to cancel her first birthday party and stay home. But, yeah.
Did you have everything planned?
Oh, yeah. My whole, like, guest bedroom is filled with, like, fiesta decorations still. So we're going to do it again, like, in, like, another week or so. But, yeah, I mean.
Did you have a meltdown moment, or were you just, are you good and you're like, okay, this isn't the time. We're going to do it next weekend.
I mean, like, your main concern is the baby. Obviously, you want, like, them to feel better. But then in the back of my head, I was like, okay, well, we have this going on next weekend, and we can't do it that weekend.
And people have already planned for this, and our parents are coming in town.
Exactly.
I have to change the cake.
And I'm, like, running through it all in my head, like, oh, cool, like, great. But at the same time, you're just like, okay, wait, but I have to take care of Grayson first. So
Well, it's, and, like, you struggled because, so she had hand, foot, mouth, which, if moms, that's something that's really common in at daycare and Mother's Day Out. Has nothing to do with the cleanliness of school, nothing. You can get hand, foot, mouth even just like at AGB, or, well, that's our grocery store. But at the grocery store, it's very contagious. Yep. And it's little blisters that can kids tend to have it outside their mouth.
Yeah.
Mom,
and literally hands, feet, mouth. Yeah. Like, that's where she had all her little bumps, and then a fever too.
Yep.
And then,
and it's viral. You can't take anything for it. We learned that.
That was the craziest thing to hear, was that it's just like Tylenol and Motrin.
Wait,
like,
it out,
and
mom.
Just, like, hang out together. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
You're like, but she's not eating and she's not sleeping. And but, you know, it's a perfect example of, like, you really have to kind of be like, remember the movie The Matrix, where you, like, bend backwards and bullets are coming at you and you're dodging? And
yes.
I feel like the first few years, really, I mean, God, let's be real. Like, really, just kids in general until they're grown adults, I'm assuming, is like that. But you have to be ready. I mean, there was no keeping her on schedule. She wouldn't even eat because her little throat hurt.
No. And it's so funny too, like, I think also, like, you have to trust your mom intuition, because we were actually supposed to go out that night as my husband's 20-year high school reunion.
Oh, God.
And, like, a few hours before, I know, I was like,
I liked your roll, your eye roll, 20-year,
like,
reunion.
I wasn't looking for an excuse to get out of the event, but, like.
Yeah, right. You, oh, my God, you created hand, foot, mouth, but for you put it into the universe. Right? Like,
I did not manifest that, but. Yeah. But, like, we were supposed to go out that night, and I was just like, man, Grayson is just acting a little bit weird tonight. I think I'm just going to stay home and hang out with her instead.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, a few hours later, we ended up in the ER. So, like, you just have to, like, trust.
Why did you take her to the ER?
Because here in San Antonio, a lot of the pediatric urgent cares close at, like, 7 or 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And then I, like, didn't know, like, our nurse line for our pediatrician connects to the hospital anyway.
Oh.
And so I
and
was,
they said,
like,
bring her in, mom?
Yeah, because her fever was, like, 102 something, which, like, when I got there, the nurses were like, oh, that's nothing, sweetie.
But, okay, so I was just going to say that. So a good word of advice, like, that I was, and I had, even one of my kiddos had high fever and we had febrile seizures. Do you know what that is?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, where they spike a fever really fast and then it can actually cause seizure. And so I had to learn the hard way. It's very common in, I think they said 2 and 3 year, or between 1 and 4 is kind of the window where it happens the most. But if that happens, you're supposed to just put them down, lay them on their side and sit there. And it is the longest 60 seconds of your life.
Gosh.
But in that, and going to the, one time we had a ambulance ride to the hospital for it, but I remember the pediatrician there telling me that kids can have, so adults, like, really a high fever, like a 104 is crazy. kids can have higher fever. Yeah. And so all the way up to like a, and don't, look, this is me saying it out loud. So non-medical. Look, internet, yeah, internet world out there and all the people. I want to say they said 103.5 was like anything. So basically a 102 on a baby was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're fine, which is what the nurse told you. You went in, you're like, oh, my God. Because if we had a 102 fever, we'd be...
I'd be like, oh, I spent the first like 30 minutes there, like asking my husband, like, am I crazy for bringing us here right now? Am I crazy?
No, but and you know, so here's,
I wasn't.
Okay. But. So I would say to any new mom, like, if you're that worried, you know, go and do the thing. But also in that, I mean, it's so hard because you don't know any different. And so like your next baby, you're going to know, like, you're going to be a pro. And
I'll
be like,
know what hand, foot, and mouth is.
Yes, you'll know what hand, foot, mouth is. You'll know if she has a, you know, he or she has a high fever, like to, you know, get a cool washcloth and alternate Motrin and Tylenol. But this is all stuff that they don't put in a handbook, and there's no rules. Each child is different. Some kids even respond better to Tylenol versus Motrin.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, and there's 1,000 books you can read about it, but I think our message is really just like, take a deep breath, mom. You know, maybe before you call the ER, you call your mom, I'd recommend. If you're not, you know, maybe don't call your mom. Call your best friend that's got 2 kids.
And call the nurse lines. I feel like a lot of places have those now. So you can just like
bounce
the idea off of them.
Absolutely. And then it's ultimately up to you to make the call like, okay, is this a moment or is it not? And you know, it's so hard not to freak out. I think that's why we said, let's talk about what not to freak out with a new mom.
Yeah.
Because there's all these things. There's tar poop and there's, you know, blow ups and there's cottage cheese poop and there's, you know, pulsating brain spots and baby acne and stork bites and all these things that nobody teaches you in school. Like, we spend all this time in school. We have this, you know, education system that doesn't prepare anybody for motherhood.
Nope.
And then we're thrown into it with a couple books and a Google search. And so, just know that everybody is just figuring it out
and
as
Googling.
They go. And they're Googling. And sometimes Google's not right. That's the worst
I know.
Part is it doesn't even tell you the right answers. It tells you maybe the answers that have been on the internet long enough. Or maybe the answers that these websites are paying for ads. You know, right? Like, you Google something, the first 3 things that show up are paid search results. And it might be somebody that's saying, you know, something that's their own experience or I don't trust Google anymore. You know what I do is I Google something and I go straight to page 3 because I'm like,
oh,
right.
Yes.
Like, get rid of the paid people, get rid of the popular opinion and like, let me get the whole picture.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. Just a thought.
That and find a pediatrician and make them your best friend that you can text.
I am trying to get you to switch to mine because it's a thing. I know. A great pediatrician should offer a service that allows texting so that we can just like text a nurse and pictures and say, is this rash normal? Yes or no?
Right.
And they vote like a story. You post stories and go, yes or no? Is this normal?
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
No, me too.
I would pay for that subscription.
I would too. Or even if that was just something that could be moms. Like, I don't even need a pediatrician to tell me yes or no. I feel like I could post that and just have 1,000 moms chime in yes or no with how they treated it, what they did, and how they interacted, you know, with whatever, weird poops.
Yes.
You know, bumps, hand, foot, mouth, fever, all the things. Yeah, forget insurance. I just need a really great mom group that's a little bit more experienced than me or with multiple experiences.
Yes.
So that one mom can say, oh, well, this worked great for me for cradle cap. And then another mom's like, oh, yeah, but what about this? And then
you can try what works.
And then I trust them and it's not Googling.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, last thing I wrote down, umbilical cord. What did yours look like? What is your umbilical cord? What did Grayson's umbilical cord look like?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I don't even know, like, if hers was normal because, like, I feel like I never saw another baby's umbilical cord.
Really? But we see them now, like, as the newborns come
in. Yeah, that's true. And we do see them at work now. But, I don't know. Hers was like a little bit longer. That freaked me out a little bit too, though, actually.
Because it's all transparent and gooey.
Yeah. And then when hers started falling off, it was like bleeding like yeah. around the edge. And so then I was like, oh my God, is it getting
and
infected?
And you feel like their and, guts are about to fall out.
And you know I called the pediatrician again about that.
I am learning that. I'm like choking here. I am learning that about you. Okay. I'm giving you straight permission now to like text me pictures and be like, is this normal? And I'm gonna vote yes, no.
They probably see my name on the caller ID and they're like, oh, it's Miss Frankel again.
Her baby probably had a booger. She's trying to figure out if it's normal or not.
That's what happens when you're a first time mom.
It does
That's
happen.
Why we're doing this.
It does happen. It does happen. I had like two of my best friends had babies right around the same time as me. And I remember us always text, because that was even before social media. My oldest is 17. So we didn't have Instagram to like, you know?
Yeah.
And God, that makes me feel so old. But yeah, it is funny. So umbilical cords come in all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
Hopefully your doctor cuts it pretty short, because changing diapers and having to mess with that, because the diaper hits right where the umbilical yeah. cord is. It's got that clamp on it.
But
some little part of your brain makes you think that, like, if you pull on it, their like intestines are attached and it's going to be guts everywhere.
Right?
Yeah, not true.
I just feel like they're exposed.
Now there's a magic potion. So around probably 2 to 4 weeks, I'd say actually around 2 weeks, you can go to your pediatrician and they put like this magic sauce on it and it dries it up and
like
it comes
the silver. Up. Yeah. Something. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
So
I didn't do that, but yeah. I have heard that before.
If outies and innies, belly buttons. Do you have an outie or an innie?
I have an innie.
Me too.
And then,
but you can
Grayson
get outies.
Has an innie. Yeah. No, I know outies still happen.
Well, and even with the umbilical cord, your belly button, baby's belly button, can look like an outie. And when the umbilical cord comes off, it actually sometimes can go back in. So don't freak out if your baby's belly button has like a little like it bubbles out.
Yes.
It's totally normal.
That's so funny
Google
you say
it.
That because my husband before she was born, yeah. he was like, she better cut the umbilical cord good. Like, I don't yeah. want her to have an outie. And I'm like, she'll be fine. He's like, yeah, but like, do you think we could like pay her a little extra on the side
oh
or something
God.
To like make sure it's an innie?
Bribe like, the doctor.
She's going to cut it normally. Like, we don't need to pay extra
also,
for
an innie.
Also,
isn't it dad that cuts it? They still do that, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. That's they, true.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is on you, actually.
But in the moment, nobody's thinking like, can you scoot your hand down a little bit so that I can get as close of a cut?
I know.
Like, in the moment,
yeah.
you're just like, oh, my baby's here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they probably take it over and they're like, that dad really messed up that umbilical cord.
Can you like, imagine?
Yeah. Like, the mom nurse is like, I'm going to fix this. She'll thank me later.
Oh,
little magic moments. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the big things that we covered. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just moral of the story, don't freak out.
Don't
there
freak out.
There is so many weird, random things that is going to happen with a newborn. Things that we haven't even talked about, really.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really cover it all, but I feel like those are the most common things, especially like from hospital to like the first like 4 to 6 months at home.
Yeah.
And especially if you're at daycare, like things are going to happen. And
oh,
so
my, that's a whole nother podcast.
Just go with the flow.
Yeah. Yes, that is a whole nother thing. But yeah, go with the flow. You know, don't stress. That's the message we want is helping moms, you know, figure out that nobody knows the right answers. Mm-hmm. No mom has a first time baby unless she like read her whole pregnancy and asked 1,000 polls and all the things like, you know, you just don't know what to expect. And
yeah.
you don't know what you're dealing with until the moment. You don't know when your baby's born, if they're going to have baby acne or not, you know. And so
yep.
all you can do is try to educate yourself, talk to your friends, talk to your mom, you know, and be aware that, oh, okay, I heard about this rash, right?
Yeah.
I heard about a rash you can get and it looks like XYZ, so that when it happens, you don't think she was like rolling in poison ivy
yes.
and you're like, oh, I feel like this is the symptoms, you know, and then you're just more prepared, and that gives moms confidence. Don't forget, you can check out Caden Lane, our brand, at cadenlane.com on all the social channels, most of them named Caden Lane. I'm That Mom. Subscribe, follow us, leave a review, guys. Like, we'd love to hear what you thought. what you'd like to hear more of.
And we just launched our new blog website to imthatmom.com.
We did, where there's lots of good feedback and ideas on how to make your job as a mom easier. All the things.
We'll see you soon.